pretty good. What do you think?
She's from there.
He's from here.
Hanging together.
We make quite a pair.
She's left-handed.
He's right-handed.
Surely not to be disbanded. We are the Mighty Mounties. With Josh Ussie.
And Michelle Christine.
Hey.
Yay. This is our first, we can say it's our first international episode.
Oh, yeah.
Where are we?
We're not in Europe.
We actually are not in Europe. Well, not technically.
We're in Cyprus.
Yeah, we're in Cyprus, which considered by the world is one country, which is part of the European Union. However, I think back in 1974, there was a bit of a kerfuffle between the Turks and the Cyprus people. Or the
Cypriots.
Greeks, the Greek Cypriots. And now there's this border, and we're technically in the Turkish side, so we're not part of the EU, really.
No.
Not where it really counts, because it's the Turkish lira that they have. We hopped onto a different cell phone carrier, so my poor cousin, who unfortunately had my bill associated with her name and credit card with O2, told me that there was £38 worth of extra charges in just, I think, a day and a half of being here.
Wow, that's a lot of phone use.
I was just on the internet.
Wow, what are you looking at?
Honestly, probably not that, probably just Facebook and just that kind of crap.
£38 for Facebook.
£38, yeah. And maybe a bit of Google Maps or something like that.
Some people say it's not even worth free. So you pay £38 for that.
Well, looking back on it now, I should have just turned off all my data, but I just thought I'd still be in the European Union for some reason. That was my mistake. It could have been £300 had they never sent that first message. So at least we did. Do you think that they changed the rules and now they have to send messages or emails even when it goes up by, say, £30 or something? There's an automatic trigger?
Yeah, because back in the day when these cell phone carriers, as you call them, we call them mobile phone providers in the UK, they started up. And they're pirates. So I remember one month I just went over, and there was no cap back then. And I was just phoning my girlfriend at the time. And after a week, I got this bill, and it was £380. And I should not have paid, but I was young and I paid them. And I should have just refused. It's just it's extortionate. Mm.
Yeah, I'm sure it costs them basically nothing, but I don't know. And so, yeah, now my cell phone basically just has Wi-Fi, fair enough. And I just spent some money on Skype to have some phone calls so I can call out. Because it's quite important. Like, we are here right now. And I don't know how much we talked about this, but we have a venue now in Edinburgh, Scotland, because we're going to be running it together for the Edinburgh Fringe Festival, which is very exciting.
The Scotsman
on North Bridge. And after I'd left from England, where Josh and I made the first few podcasts, I was in Edinburgh for the past 3 weeks. We actually did one podcast in Edinburgh, but I got dropped after about 45 minutes. So we just did the one. And then, yeah, found the Scotsman. And now every day, all day, we have been just contacting people and trying to get the slots filled out for, you know, each room.
Yeah, I know a lot of listeners probably will come to Edinburgh in the August for the Fringe. I know certainly one will, Miguel.
I hope so. No, Miguel will be coming, actually, so I'm very excited to have him there. And I'm very curious to see, kind of like, I have the vision of what it's going to turn out like, and I'm curious like how much of the vision will actually come to pass, because there's a lot of things that, I don't know, just like late night cabaret or burlesque shows, I think would be fun, but it's, you know, it's making sure you meet the right people so that you can, like, people can't find out about you unless you put yourself out there.
That's why we created a website, yeah. LaughingMountie.com.
That's right, LaughingMountie.com. But then we've had this debate because there's Laughing Horse, which is a comedy, a free fringe comedy kind of collection. And so they have venues all over Edinburgh. And I think three or four people that I mentioned, oh, we're called Laughing Mountie. And they're like, oh, is it Laughing Horse? And you're like, no, it's Laughing Mountie. And so we're like, oh, do we keep that or do we transition to Let's Giraffe? Because that's our actual business name is Let's Giraffe, kind of like Let's Laugh, Let's Giraffe. And so, yeah, we're debating the transition of moving it over to Let's Giraffe.
Yeah, I think we'll definitely have Laughing Mountie for this year, even though it could change to Let's Giraffe. But If you type in laughingmountie.com, it will direct to that website still. So that's fine for anyone that, you know, so it's easy for anyone else, even if we do change. And talking about the free venues, I know that people that do open mics as comedians or even performers starting out, you think free is free, but free always has a cost. And I think you were saying that you actually made more money when you paid for a venue.
Yeah, so I did free shows for a long time, like 9 different fringe festivals. And then this past fringe in August in Edinburgh, I did a £5 reserve, pay what you want if it wasn't sold out. And then there was one night that I made more than maybe 3 or 4 nights of doing a free show. It just because it was a Friday night, I had 100 pre-sales. So I was like, oh my God, 100 pre-sales. So you times that by £5. So yeah, and then I still had the bucket at the end of the show for a couple of the walk-ins because I had a 120 capacity room.
Which for you is a Mountie hat.
Yeah, they really do put it into the Mountie hat at my show. And I just thought, wow, because I just didn't realize it's really hard when you're an artist because you do it because you love it and you do it because you want to do it. And then you don't equate a value to it as much as you should or could. And so I just wanted people to come. That's all I cared about. It's the long game. I want people to come and enjoy what I do. I want to have fans. And if more people are going to come because it's free, then I should make it free as long as I possibly can, because that's what I want, is just to maximize the amount of people that can see me. But eventually, you know, I got to a point where it's like, okay, you know, is Dave Chappelle still doing a free show, or is, you know, Chris Rock? And obviously they're epics, but I just mean there's a magic moment in everyone's career that you do have to say, I can't just do a free show, because people are willing to pay for it and they want to know that I can then pay for accommodation or buy clothes or, you know, pay my rent, because I'm not just, you know, doing a free show all the time. So eventually I think you do have to realize what you do has value.
Yeah, I think sometimes people are amazed at what people will pay for, but the market decides. And some young guy on Instagram, he's a model. I don't know why it baffles some comedians. But anyway, I forgot his name. But
is it Casey Ireland? No, I don't know. I'm just trying to remember. I don't think that's a real person. But
okay, well, yeah, let's just say Casey Ireland. No. I don't know who that is.
I don't know. I think it was something like that, though. Wasn't it Dallas something?
Dallas, there you go. Dallas Cameron.
There we go. That wasn't that bad.
Casey Ireland. That is close.
But it had a place in it.
Oh, right.
Which was the Ireland, because I knew there was a place.
And Casey
is similar to Cameron. So Dallas Cameron is not that different. It starts with a C and was a place.
But the other way around. Okay.
But the other way around.
Well, yeah. So Dallas Cameron, he is like a, I guess it's kind of like a boy band look kind of model. And he just flies out and people pay, young girls usually pay to meet him with their mums. So, you know, if people are willing to pay for it, you have some value.
And there's a lot of people that are Instagram models that aren't doing that. So he obviously has a business mind to him and is utilizing, you know, something that's quite valuable, his looks. And I don't hold it against people. If people want to make money, you know, legally doing whatever, by all means, do what you got to do. I think you shouldn't shade people for how they make their money. And I'm sure there's a lot of people out there that if they could just be an Instagram model and then go out and have appearances, they would do that at the drop of a hat. So I think a lot of times when there's a negativity that doesn't seem 100% reasoned or, like, you know, rational, it could be underneath those layers is like, oh, you know, that's not something I'm capable of doing, therefore I'm going to, you know, harp on someone for doing it. It doesn't come from, I think, a positive place. It actually comes from a place of insecurity.
Yeah, and I think this is stemming back to what we're kind of saying, is like, if you make people laugh as a comedian, or people like to listen to you sing or perform or watch you perform, then you might actually have more value than you realize in the marketplace. Because if people are willing to pay for someone just to meet them, you know, and they might be sexy, hot youngster. I'm not really into him, but, you know, I'm going to check out this Casey Ireland after. you know, I think there's more opportunity than people realize sometimes. That's all.
And we have been watching a lot of the podcast. Is it called Your Mom's Basement?
Your mom's house.
Your mom's house. Okay.
But there is another one called Your Mom's Basement.
Oh, okay, okay. So it's called Your Mom's House with Tom Segura and Christina P. Pazinski. And I never used to watch a lot of podcasts, but Josh listens to a lot of them / watches them. So I've started to get into them a little bit more. And there's more of a story that I was going to say about those two. But anyway, basically watching them has made me come around to the fact that, like, you shouldn't feel bad for anything that you enjoy content-wise. Like, they talk about some crazy stuff. They post videos of, like, they actually talk a lot about farts and poos and things like that, which usually, you know, I don't listen to a deep extent. But you actually become, like, friends with them, or not friends with them, but you feel like you get to know them, right, from listening to them all the time. And I think I would actually love to, like, go out and meet Christina and Tom. And
I want to know more about the serial killer stuff that he watches. It doesn't get shared as much on the podcast.
Yeah, they talk about this whole ride or die thing. Like, are you a ride or die partner? And because Tom is like watching a lot of these murder shows on Netflix, Christina's always been like a little bit nervous that, like, you know, he might one day have a desire to murder somebody. And she said, you know, if that were to happen, like if he got mad at the barista and murdered the barista, she would, you know, rat him out and take the kids and make sure they were safe. And she's like, I'm not a ride or die, you know, woman, because, like, I just think that that's not a characteristic I would want in a partner. And he always seems a bit perturbed by that. And there'd be a lot of people writing in saying that they are actually indeed ride or die partners.
But now he keeps asking, and now recently he's got the pass. She's now ride or die.
I think she's been slowly maneuvered there, but I still think...
She is. She said it. Like, you can't go back on that.
Oh, she can go back on that, for sure. There's one thing for
me... You can't when the body's in the boot. You said you would.
I honestly think in reality, though, if there was a dead body in the boot of her car and it was a Starbucks barista he killed because he got his order wrong, like, she's for sure turning him in. Like, I really think so, especially with all the things she said initially. Because think about it, though. Yeah. Think about it in reality. He probably did something sloppy. He's probably on, like, some CCTV somewhere, and the kids have no parents and we both go to jail, or Tom's effing crazy and murdered this guy, he's going to jail, and I'm raising my kids. And I think that her mother instinct would kick in.
Yeah, it's the most likely path, I think.
Especially because she's had that first natural intuition to turn him in. And not like she was being like, I'm ride or die, baby. She was like very much ride or die, got a bit of negative flack from the listeners saying that they ride or die, and maybe felt like she had her arm twisted a little bit, but yeah.
It's just a lot of work, covering tracks and melting the body in acid, you know, bath of acid. And
I'm very clumsy. One, I don't have a desire to murder people, which is great. And two, I know that my hair just falls out en masse, as we've discovered here. And I've known that about everywhere I live. It's just like, I don't know how I still have hair on my head because of how much it falls out. And I would totally leave DNA evidence everywhere. So I'm glad I'm not a murderer. I think, yeah, there's even, like, there's just hair absolutely everywhere. But what brings us to Cyprus, I will say, is that Josh plays a lot of poker, and both of us aren't really fans of the winter and cold weather. So we thought, okay, we have a lot to do for this business. We like warm weather. Josh likes to play poker, you know, so let's see if we can find a place where we can kind of go away for a little bit and really focus on some of these things. And so Cyprus had the weather. And it was a cheap Airbnb, and we could kind of do our business here. Great, it's got Wi-Fi. Casino, 9-minute drive away, if that. Great, let's do it. 35 days, let's book it. And then we make a discovery, which is...
Literally the night before, I met a fellow poker pro player, and he was saying that, oh, you're going to hate it. He knows me very well, and I was like, why am I going to hate it? He said, oh, you know they allow smoking at the table. What? Why would someone do that? Why would they do that? They're not in the EU, bro. And they actually had legal sanction in 2017 to prevent smoking in public places, which was great for like 9 months or the first year. But then they stopped paying the police to enforce it. And then everyone's just gone slacked on it. And they just allow it. Because there's nothing to do on this island. But there's cigarettes everywhere. At every kiosk. It's actually crazy. It's literally, you'll be sat, you're getting your groceries. And then the person opposite you, who works the till, is sat there. And behind her is almost like this giant box that's just appeared. And behind her, almost lit up in a way, is just all these packets of cigarettes just behind her. So whenever you look up or you're looking at her, all you're seeing is all these different brands of cigarettes.
Well, that's what it used to be like back in the day. I mean, in Canada, you know, it's always by the till of the grocery store, right behind all the girls, would be the cigarettes. And then eventually they passed a law where it had to be behind, you couldn't see, like, the thing could flip up, like a shelf could flip up, and then it reveals them, but you couldn't actually see them. And then it was, okay, you can't actually have them behind the cashiers, it has to be, like, in a little separate area. But that used to be, like, being here makes me feel like I went into the past a little bit, because, and I felt a little bit like that when I was in Hungary, or not Hungary, and in Romania a little bit as well. But I think, like, it makes me sad because, like, these laws were created to protect the people, especially that work at the places. Like, it's one thing if you're a smoker and you're at the casino and you smoke and everyone around you smokes, but, like, the dealer doesn't necessarily smoke, the waitress doesn't necessarily smoke, you know, the people at the restaurant. Like, I don't mind if people smoke, but, like, don't have your habit be something that negatively affects the health of other people around you. And that's what disappoints me. And it's fine. That's what they've decided is fine. But we even watched a little video on a pro that was here for a tournament. And he was saying, he's like, oh, what do you like about playing in Cyprus? And he's like, well, I know a lot of the players really don't like the smoke. And then he just kind of, like, went on to the next question. He didn't even address it at all. It's just like, it's just part of the culture. But, like, you know, maybe that's just something that needs to change. But I don't know. If the police aren't enforcing it, they're not enforcing it.
Well, I always think of Roy Castle, who used to present Record Breakers here in the UK. And he was, I think he was a trombone player. He was a trumpet player. And he would go and perform in all these smoky clubs. He never smoked in his life. And then he contracted cancer as a result. I think it was lung cancer, but it was some sort of cancer. And he died as a result, never having put a cigarette to his lips. But passive smoking is just so bad. And he died from it. And it's like, why? That didn't have to happen if the rule was in place.
And they're hopefully slowly going to change the laws for air pollution, because air pollution is causing the same thing. Like, I know they said there was, like, this village in China, and this guy was, like, I think in his 50s, and he had lung cancer, and they're like, oh, do you smoke? And he's like, no, I don't smoke. And then after they did an autopsy on his lungs, and it looked like he'd smoked a pack a day, because he was just in a place where they said to this little girl, oh, what color is the sky? And she's like, gray, because, like, she'd never seen a blue sky, because it's literally smoggy every single day. And so, yeah, there's a lot of things that are going on that that need to change. But in places, they're slowly but surely starting to make laws that are a little bit more proactive in this type of thing. But yeah, it's just a shame, because it would have been a fun outlet, I think, for both of us, because I've started to play poker a little bit as well. But now it's kind of cool. It's kind of crazy, because we're trying to stay sane in this little place where there's really not much to do. There's not a cinema here. There's not really nightlife. There's a lot of abandoned. This place got hit really hard in the 2008 financial crisis. And there's a lot of nice houses here, but, like, at least a quarter of them are not even finished, right? They're, like, halfway done, three quarters done, and then they've just been abandoned.
Yeah, anyone that wants to check out the horrible plight of pollution in China can check out Under the Dome. It's a very good documentary. I believe it's on Netflix. And there are, like, every house that we've gone around and looked at pretty much is half built. And there's just one giant road across Cyprus. and our supermarket's just off of it. So we have to, it's actually easier because that road's so busy. Trying to make a right turn on that road coming back is so tough that we've elected to walk. But we're walking out on this giant, this very long road with all these cars, and these drivers are manic, I tell you.
Mm.
And, it's disgusting.
You can smell it, the air quality change.
Yeah.
You can just smell like the petrol in the air. So I'm glad that we're up the road a little bit. But yeah, it's one of those things that I think when the electric cars really take off over the next, 10 to 50 years, I mean, it's already starting, but it'll be a noticeable change and people will be healthier.
Tesla.
Yeah, Tesla. Oh, goodness gracious. Yeah, I'm excited. I want a Tesla to be my first car that I've ever bought with my own money.
Woohoo!
Woohoo! So we'll see if this business is successful enough over time. We'll see, because we're going to be moving to Edinburgh. So we're going to fly from here to London, and then we're going to take the train. And we debated flying or taking the train, but we're going to have a lot of stuff. And it's great getting these cheap. I think there was a flight for like £12 with Ryanair, with taking baggage, like it's not even just the check baggage, even the like backpacks are money with Ryanair. And then there's just like so many things that we want to take. Like what if we find a bread maker that we want to take? And like, it's just, so we're just going to go to the train with a boatload of stuff. And then it's just one ticket. It doesn't matter. And take with us as much as we can so that we can like set up shop in Edinburgh. So.
Yeah. I always wondered why on these movies, when people have to take a train abroad, there's always got someone with a chicken on their lap or in a cage. And I realised that they must have been moving house.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's so funny. I've never actually seen that, but that's great. It'd be nice to have chickens. I would love one day to have a house that had some chickens in the backyard to have eggs. Like when I visited Cecile, my French friend, when I was on tour in Europe, her parents have these chickens now, and they're freaking adorable. And they just lay all these eggs, and they're so excited because like they've just started. So like, this is the fourth egg. Like, it's like literally, now it's probably like the 20th or no, more like 100th or whatever. But yeah, they just have... And they were so excited because I had this thing in my backpack. It was like a cucumber or something. I can't remember exactly what it was. And I felt like it was starting to go off. So I was like, oh, I don't know if I should eat this. They're like, we'll take it for the chicken. And they were like really excited to like feed the chicken. It's like they're new babies. So
my friend had some. They were Barbadoodles. So they've got really big like plumage. They look very special. But the thing about the chicken is apparently he only has one hole. So the egg comes out the same hole as the poop. I don't know if it's true or not. It sounds like it isn't.
Poo and pee is also melded into one thing. They don't like poo or pee. It's like they poo pee.
Brilliant. So dry urea coming out.
I've owned birds quite a bit, so I know exactly what their poo looks like.
Lovely.
Mm. Well, budgies, finches, and cockatiels.
Same to you.
But yeah, anyway, so yeah, Northern Cyprus, I don't know if I would ever come back here, and I don't want to shade anywhere because like I feel bad, but at the same time, like I've been to a lot of places in the world, and like I just, like I think I've seen all I need to see.
Apart from the Great Wall of China.
Oh, I would love, well, that's not in Cyprus.
Well, yeah.
I would totally go to China and see the Great Wall. That'd be awesome. Like, I like going places at least once, but, like, I guess it's kind of like a guy that likes to play the field. It's like, well, I've already slept with the blonde girl with fake boobs, and now I'm on to the redhead with natural boobs, and then I'm going to go on to the brunette with the blank, and then the, you know, the girl who's a bit Asian, and the girl who's Indian, and then, you know, like, I feel like this is a notch on my belt that I don't want to revisit.
I don't think guys specify around the boobs like that, but it's interesting.
I don't know. I'm just saying, like, I'm just trying to make them each different. So it's like, been there, done that, bought the T-shirt.
Hmm?
So I've been there, done that, bought the Northern Cyprus T-shirt. But yeah, I think the next place, like, what I would be interested in is, like, an idea of where to go in the winter that's, like, warm, you can play poker, I can do comedy, and doesn't smoke indoors.
Wow. You know, there's one place.
Yeah, there is. And it's funny because, like, one of the reasons we didn't go there now is, like, it's because it's in Los Angeles, and Los Angeles is where I had just lived, right? I had just moved from there, and, you know, I'm going through a divorce, and so it's just kind of a place where I felt like, you know, doing a fresh start, and just like, it was like, oh, where am I going to go to, like, focus? And I thought that LA might just have a little bit more of, like, be a bit more anxiety-ridden for me.
The good thing about North Cyprus is it helps you appreciate LA.
It does. It really does. I mean, maybe that was the reason you suggested it in the first place. It's like, oh, after this, she'll be dying to go to LA next winter. Honestly, if I could trade it and snap my fingers and be in Los Angeles right now, I would.
Oh, my God.
I know, especially because my sister's there right now. My nieces are there.
Little monkeys.
Yeah, because I didn't realize, because I mean, I don't have the best memory on earth. And that goes Facebook. But is that my sister had planned a trip for her and her husband and girls to come to LA in November. I didn't remember that. And then I just booked, you know, going to Cyprus for this time. And then now she's in Los Angeles and I'm not there. But of course there's Disneyland. And she has one of her best friends lives there. And her other best friend came with her. So they had, you know, a Thanksgiving dinner there, even though Canadian Thanksgiving's in October, which they also celebrated in Canada, but whatever. And so, yeah, now I'm not there. And my niece was finally old enough to be like, oh, yeah, LA, that's where Auntie Michelle is. We'll get to see her. And then my sister's like, actually, she's not there right now. And I was like, oh, but you'll see her at Christmas. And then I had to say, actually, I'm not coming home for Christmas. I have to move to Edinburgh and set up shop. And my sister's just like, oh, you're terrible.
Oh, yeah. No, it's something every four-year-old has to learn.
She's six now.
Ooh.
Six and four.
Yeah, I'm talking about the young one.
Well, the young one wasn't part of any of those conversations. Only the older one.
Does she not care?
She isn't smart enough to know that I was in Los Angeles. And she's not smart enough to realize that at Christmas is when I come home. Lily's starting to figure stuff out and realize, oh, there's a pattern. I've seen Auntie Michelle 2 years in a row now at Christmas, so I just see Auntie Michelle at Christmas. And then she was now finally smart enough to realize, oh, Auntie Michelle lived in Los Angeles. She's always like, oh, I'm in Los Angeles. So this was the first time she'd said to my sister, oh, Los Angeles? That's where Auntie Michelle lives. Because I remember only maybe it was about a year at this point. I was like, oh, I went to Quebec, or I'm going to go to Quebec, and then I'm going to go on to Ontario and see you. She's like, what do you mean? I'm like, well, I'm going to go to the province of Ontario to see you. And she's like, what's a province? And I was like, oh, you're not smart enough to know what a province is.
Well, I think it's not old enough.
Yeah.
That's not what most people would say.
Well, no, I think, but old and smart kind of go hand in hand.
Well, I don't know.
At that age. But she's smart enough now to know what provinces are. But, like, it's just kind of hard sometimes to gauge, like, what age kids start learning about certain things, you know? Like, she knew she lived in Bowmanville. She just didn't know that Bowmanville was in Ontario.
Yeah. Kids are fun.
I wish you could see Josh's face right now. He looks like he really meant that statement and wasn't apathetic in any way, shape, or form.
It's tough having a conversation where you have to explain every fifth word to someone.
Well, you just learn to, like, take those out. And you dumb it down quite a bit.
I go away, way.
I mean, you could say that, but I don't even really know what that means. Like, you're going away? Like, I don't baby talk to kids at all.
Exactly. I wouldn't either. I'd be like, we're taking the transatlantic flight. If you don't know what any of these words mean, I ask Google.
Okay, yeah, that's one way of doing it. But no, I definitely take certain things out of my vocabulary, but I don't, like, put on a voice or, I don't know, I've always gotten along really well with kids. It's easier, like, it's when you see them slowly starting to grow up, it just, I don't know, it comes natural in a way when it's like your niece or nephew. Like, they're kids that you actually care about. Most people's kids you don't care about because they're just annoying and they're making a lot of noise and you're just like, oh my God, do I even want kids? But then this thing I keep hearing from my friends is like, oh yeah, like, you feel that way until you have your own children. And then you're like, oh, I really love my own children. And then when my sister had kids, then I realized, oh, okay, it's different because I love my sister. She's, you know, we're closest living relative. And then when she had kids, I care about them. And because you care about them, you have this patience. When they get older and they reach certain milestones, it matters to you. When they're happy, it matters to you. You want them to have fun. Like, it's just a totally different thing when you actually meet kids that you care about and that are like, you know, they're my sister's children, you know, they're very important to me.
I think kids are biological heroin. From the way the parents talk about them, you don't know what it's like, bro, until you've had them, you know? And then once you had it, you can't go back.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's a powerful thing.
It's very powerful. And for most people, it's life-changing in a positive way. There's definitely a subset of people where that's not the case, unfortunately. So, it's kind of funny. So, yeah, anyway. Maybe one day, but that's another podcast for another time. The Do You Want to Have Kids podcast.
No.
Oh, that makes it quite
not right now.
Not right now. Yeah. But we'll have a lot to do. So what do you think you're the most excited about from going to Edinburgh? Like, is there things that you're looking forward to or not? Like, both?
I'd like to turn on a tap and have the option of just drinking that water.
Okay, so that's a Northern Cyprus reference here. One of the other things about Northern Cyprus is they say that you're not supposed to drink the tap water. Now, I don't know 100% if that's true of everywhere in Northern Cyprus. Like, I feel like the water here is clear, but I don't know. We Googled it and they said it's not advisable. And a few forums said that too. A few people said, I drink it and it's fine. But we figured if the internet's saying don't. And it's funny because we started with getting the big size water bottle or whatever, watering.
Like 2 liter bottle initially.
Was it only two?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. So it was
like that one felt big.
Yes.
I'm pointing to the smallest one have now, which is a 5 liter.
Yeah. So we got we got a 2 liter, I think. And then we got a 5 liter. And then we got,
One higher than that.
Yeah, what was the one between after five?
7.5 or 8?
And then now we're on to 19.
Well, then we had a 15.
Yeah, we had a 15.
And now we have a 19.
Yeah, yeah. So we have like a family of water bottles here. Like, we have the babies and then the man and the wife and everything. And so now we have the biggest one. And it's actually one where you don't throw it out. You take it back and you give it to them, and then they give you a full one in, as an exchange. So the first one costs the most, but now each like refill will be discounted because we're bringing back the plasticky thing. So now we figured it out. It only took like 4 different sizes for us to like figure it out. So that will be nice, because I just did not realize how quick we were going to go through water.
You don't realize. You don't realize until... Now you have to live here.
And we had to use it for like cooking the rice and stuff. And
yeah, anything like a mashed potato or anything that you're going to cook something and then eat with it, essentially, like the soup as well last night.
Yeah.
You have to use it.
And then also, there wasn't hot water when we first came here.
Word.
And the person who owns this place is actually in Norway. So then we had to contact them. And then it took a couple days. And they finally sent out a plumber with an interpreter, which was her friend. And they hooked it up to some gas, like not like an actual like gas line, like a gas canister like you'd use for a barbecue, like a propane canister, basically. And so when that runs out, we just have to let her know. And then she'll give us a new propane canister.
Like, this room's nice. I'm really looking forward to seeing the rest of the Airbnb.
You mean her place?
Yeah, because we've just got this little room on the side.
Yeah.
And she has this balcony and, like, this two-level split kind of house next door, which is not being used at all.
No.
And we're just stuck on the side, like, some...
Well, it's not finished.
Like, the working... Oh, right.
No, it's not finished, yeah. So there's like just concrete and stuff, and like it's like the whole second floor is unfinished. Fair enough. Yeah.
But yeah. They messed up the position of the balcony, haven't they?
They did, yeah. I mean, this place does have a really nice view.
Giant mountain.
Yeah. I mean, not like Everest, but like, yeah, it's got a mountain.
For an island.
But, I mean, yeah, it's not bad, sort of. I mean, if you went to New Zealand, the mountains they have there are epic. Like, epic.
I've seen Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, if you
look, Sauron.
Yeah, but if you look outside here, it's not anything close to like the Rockies or.
In right. Well, you can always say it about anything, can't you?
Yeah, but it's just
a big mountain.
I just want people, if they're imagining what Cyprus is, to not think we're outside of a giant mountain range.
Oh, well, yeah, it's not the Swiss Alps.
No, not even close. But it's got some terrain to it, and instead of the balcony facing the terrain, it's actually just facing a sign that says escape homes, and it's just a sign that like is the indicator that we're at our house.
Every time I see that, it has more meaning to me.
And it's sun faded as well. So wear your sunscreen because it does a lot of damage to things. But anyway, and so they've just decided to have it face just like a street with a sign and some houses instead of like a beautiful landscape. So all they would have had to do was turn it 90 degrees and it would have been perfect.
Yep.
And they built it from scratch.
From scratch.
So they had all of the, well, c'est la vie. But yeah, we're in like a really, yeah, it's not the biggest thing on earth, but yeah, so if you go on Airbnb and you look at Northern Cyprus, I've just realized that there's now like some, you can get some pretty nice places, like 3-bedroom, like mansion-y type places now for like pretty dirt cheap. So if you do want to come on a cheap vacation with, if all you want out of a place is like sun and quiet and relaxation, then Northern Cyprus can be the bargain that you're looking for.
I feel like I came 30 years too early.
Yeah, I mean, if we were 65, it would be great. Huh. Yeah.
What a nightmare. No, but it's fine. Yeah. And like, you're at a time of your life where you don't mind just inhaling other people's cancerous fumes. And you can have a bit of a gamble at the table.
Yeah. But the good thing about the boredom is that it's meant we've done a lot of the painstaking administrative work that we need to do for the business.
Yeah.
Yeah, Josh has now turned into having a lot of one-word answers, which is great. So I'm trying to carry the conversation, which is fine. okay, you can have a rebuttal.
You mean just on this? Or
in this podcast right now. You're just saying a lot of yep, nope.
Yeah, well, you know, I was talking before, and then you're like, oh, I don't want people to be, you know,
what?
Misrepresented by what I've said.
What do you mean?
I always said it was a giant mountain. And then you were like, oh, no, it's not the fucking Alps.
Yeah, nobody cares if I say that. They want to see some friction at times. It's too boring if two people get along all the time on a podcast.
Yeah.
Like, Tom keeps being like, you got to lick my butthole. And Christina P is like, I don't want to do it.
We don't have to stoop to that level.
I'm not saying we're stooping to that level. I'm just saying that there's not everything is going to be like, you know, I want to do it, you want to do it, total agreement.
No, I'm just saying, you know, when I did say something, I got shut down. So
the mic is yours.
Well, one thing that has happened, which has been a lot of fun, and we've really enjoyed the most about being in Cyprus, is that by about day 6, I realized that I might have lost my passport.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's very true.
And that's fun because it's kind of tough to know if we can even get mail here. So if I order a new passport, where am I going to get sent to? Do I have to sign for it? Would it get here? Would it get here in time? Am I stuck on this island in front of this big mountain? It's not really a mountain compared to the Alps, but it is a mountain.
Okay, that's true. And what's crazy about the passport thing is I lose things all the time, like constantly. I'm just always misplacing my sunglasses and my Mountie hats and everything. And so Josh was actually keeping hold of the passports. And I have my passport, which doesn't make any sense. Like, I don't remember him giving me my passport. He doesn't remember giving me my passport. And we had to go through the border check to get to Northern Cyprus from the south. And we handed the guy 2 passports. So they left the airport. And we're both pretty freaking positive. They handed us 2 passports back. It was a very, very quick thing. And I really feel like I have the memory of holding the 2 again in my hand and then giving them to Josh. And so I don't know where my passport or why my passport is here and his isn't. And yeah, it's just crazy. We have torn this place apart multiple times. We've looked in every little nook and cranny you could possibly imagine, and I have no idea where the passport is. So he'll either have to get a new passport or get an emergency travel document, which is more expensive than the passport, to just get himself back to England. So yeah, it's Monday. What I think you should do is just order a new passport. If it comes on time, great. If it doesn't, we'll order that document and then we'll just get it mailed to the woman who's a neighbor. And then that's just what we'll do.
Yeah, I want to order a passport tomorrow. And, you know, for those of you that are organized, you can be organized before the flight, during the flight, just after the flight. But make sure when you get into the new place that you put those important things, you see them, you make knowledge of them, you put them somewhere safe again. Just as the last port of call. I didn't think I'd have to do it, but obviously I do. And we don't know how someone could have got in here and just taken that one thing, because there's other things here. So we don't think that's happened. But if they did, I'm thinking I can understand why.
As in to get the heck out of Northern Cyprus. But yeah, it's really like a, it's just one of those things that you just cannot believe has actually happened. Yeah, because like to know that you'd had it, like you'd left the airport with it. It had made it into the car. It had made it to the border check that was only an hour away from where we're like sitting right now. It's just a shame because it's like the one thing you don't want to lose. Like anything else is like, oh, I lost a pair of pants. Oh, that sucks, but whatever. Or a hat or sunglasses. Everything is easily replaceable, but except for that, and that's the one thing. It's crazy. And so, yeah, I'm very happy that mine's still here, but I don't know. You just don't want to lose it. So it's been a bit of a downer.
She leaves it on this table next to us to flaunt the passport.
Yeah, I mean, I just want you to know that, like, this is what life looks like when your passport is around and easily viewed.
And you have two passports.
I do. I have my Canadian passport in my backpack.
So you don't even need this extra one.
Yeah, this extra one, it's good to have because I actually did one time have a backpack with my passport and a lot of stuff, and I left it in a hostel, and then I went to the North Island of New Zealand, and then I was like, oh my God, I left my backpack. Like, I'd had a rental car, so I just, like, you know, I had some stuff in the rental car in a different bag, and so they got split up, and I still had my passport. So worst case scenario, if that bag never got found, I would have had one passport. So yeah, I think that get as many passports as you can is my philosophy.
Well, I think someone's followed that philosophy and they've got my passport.
Yeah, I just think it'd be so bizarre if someone broke into this apartment and only stole your passport. Like, they're like, ah, oh, laptops, nah. Her passport, nah. Like, you know, half the time my cell phone's in here because I don't have data turned on, so I just leave it here charging when we go to the grocery store. Nah, we're just going to... And the thing is, though, it's not like yours would have been left out. They would have, like, had to, like, go through your stuff. Like, I don't know. It doesn't make any sense to me that someone just came in here. And the door was locked, and, yeah, I just... We're only ever gone for, like, maximum, like, half an hour at a time or something. We're always here.
Therefore, I must have lost it between the car and here, which is literally 5 meters.
Yeah, the only place I have left to think it could be is, like, underneath the car tires, which is absurd.
Some dogs come along and picked it up.
Yeah, because there was a lot of rain the other day, so even if it was outside, it would be so trash now. And there was some lightning and everything. And then in the morning, there was no internet. And so I was just like, oh, okay, maybe we should go to a cafe or something. We have a lot of work to do. You don't live in a world without the internet. And so I go to the neighbor, and I was like, we just packed up everything. Like, the laptops are in the bag, ready to try to maybe find a Starbucks if they do exist, right? We don't have the internet, so we can't check. And so I went up to the neighbor, and I was like, hey, do you know if there's, like, a Starbucks or something so we can, like, have the internet? Our Wi-Fi isn't working. And she's like, no one's Wi-Fi is working. The internet's out on the whole island. And I was like, what? Whole island, like, that's nuts. But to be fair, it came back in about an hour. But that's the only thing that's keeping us sane is the internet. My God, imagine we didn't have the internet, what would we do?
It was actually a really good thing that it was out on the whole island rather than just here, because we've had to wait for that friend to come back with the key to reset the router next door. But also, that woman would have been outside scrubbing the outdoor of her house.
No, it was ridiculous. She had a hose, and she was literally hosing down the road outside of her house. Like, not even her driveway or the sidewalk. She was literally spraying it on the road. And I was just like, what are you doing with your time? That's such a waste. Like, yeah, sure, there's a few, like, pebbles or something, but, like, it was madness. I've never seen that in my life.
That's what happens when you don't have internet.
Yeah, I agree. that it, when water is cheap and plentiful because it's untreated and and yeah, you don't have the internet.
That's one thing they don't talk about on Survivor. They don't have internet.
Oh, they're so bored. Yeah, they said that, like, what they show on the episodes is the highlight reel, obviously. But, like, that's a 40-minute episode in 7 24-hour days, right? And so they said that, like, the camp life is such a big indicator of who stays or goes. Because sometimes they'll vote off people. And one time they voted off this woman named Natalie. Yeah, and she...
Natalie.
And she had been kind of a bit of a pain in the butt and whatever. And it's like, oh, but why would you vote off someone you know you can take to the end and beat? Like, why are these people keeping this woman on? And there was even 3 Goliaths and 2 Davids. And they were able to convince the Goliath to then vote off the other Goliath. And then you're like, but why? But then you realize, well, really, all the survivors say that 90% of the show or the thing is getting through camp life, is the day-to-day camp life. And she was so awful that they literally couldn't stand her. Like, we only see her for 10 minutes in the entire episode, maybe. But, like, they're with her all the time, and she just never had a nice thing to say about anyone. She was bossing people around constantly. She was lazy. And it was just, like, even though they were going to put themselves 2 versus 2 for Davids versus Goliath, they took out a Goliath because of how annoying she was.
I think that's like life.
I mean, I guess so, but life isn't really like playing for $1 million and then trying to pick the most annoying person to sit next to at the end.
Maybe it is.
I do not think so.
Yep.
Anyway, but yeah, this week it'll be a double episode, so I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, no, it's kept us through a rough night before. That's what happens when you lose the internet, this thing called your imagination kind of flickers a bit on, and you start to think of things, and you're thinking, oh no, what are these thoughts that I never had coming into my brain?
I mean, that doesn't really happen to me, but I'm just being honest, like, that doesn't really happen. I'm just thinking, oh my God, why is the internet coming on? Oh, this sucks. Oh, I wish I could look this thing.
They're the thoughts. They're the thoughts coming into your brain that you didn't want to have. That's what I'm talking about.
I wouldn't call that an imagination. Oh, I wish the internet was here.
It's a wish. It's like talking, you know, Aladdin and a genie, and you ask a genie, oh, you have 3 wishes. What's your first wish? Internet, motherfucker.
Yeah.
Don't worry about the other two.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I just feel like when I think of imagination, I think of like thinking of something interesting, like creating the Harry Potter world or something like that. You know, that's imagination to me.
I've been working on those things too.
In a way.
Come on.
I would love for you to write a book. I'm waiting.
Oh, I don't know how. See?
I mean, nobody knows how to do anything until they try and they practice, you know.
You have to do it every day.
You don't have to do it every day. We listened to that guy. And he was talking about it. He's like, sometimes I don't write for a day, and then sometimes I write for like 5 hours a day. And like, you literally don't have to write every day.
Yep.
There's no rule book when you're writing a book.
You're right.
Yeah. So I don't think it's easy. I find writing very difficult because I find it very boring.
It is literally like pulling nasal hairs out.
Yeah, it's not fun at all. I've done it. I've done it for many things, but yeah, and I don't even think I'm that bad at it, but it's just, I find it very dull.
Yeah, that's like the world of without the internet.
Mm-hmm.
When you have a world with internet as well as distraction, very tough. So I always watch different YouTube things, and one of my YouTube roles is going through interviews with writers or insights into writing and trying to learn this narrative process. And it, always in the comments, it says, oh, you know how to write? You stop watching YouTube videos, you go and write. And people always like turning people off for watching these videos, for saying like, oh, you could write, or you could watch another one of these videos.
It's also like the dullest video on earth, though, listening to these writers talk about writing.
It's still better than writing.
Yeah, it's so boring. I'm like, this is like literally the worst thing. Like, I like, now that I've like my like your mom's basement or your mom's house or whatever, the H3H3 podcast, like that's like, oh, this is interesting. But yeah, like as soon, like I can notice it, like I'll be doing my work on like the admin stuff and then I'll just like start like feeling like tired. And I'm like, oh, I'm so tired. And then I realized that like Josh has put on some like video about some guy talking about his writing process. And I'm like, oh dear God, this is going to put me right to sleep.
It's fascinating.
I do listen. Like I actually listened to that, what that guy said, but
just the way they present it. They're not usually writers aren't presenters or actors or in front of the camera. So they're not, they don't do anything in their delivery. They're just like,
yes, the facts. It's very,
first you have to get a good premise.
No, see, if they talk like that, at least you'd be like, why do they talk like this? This is like somewhat more interesting. But it's just like the most dull, you don't have to write every day. You could. Maybe you could write for 5 hours a day and then the next day you don't write at all. And you're like, oh my God, I'm going to fall asleep. Like, it's crazy. It's like, but it's not there. But that's the thing. They're just good at like, if they talk dull, then they are dull. Not necessarily, but like, you know, they just can be a little bit, like, they don't need to be stimulated. Like, I feel like the internet or just my personality, like, I like being stimulated. So I'm always just, like, if I get bored, I have, like, I have so many tabs open. Like, I'm doing the admin stuff, and then I have, like, my Facebook tab and an Instagram tab, and then I have, like looking at properties tab just to see what the rental market is, to see if there's any deals. And then I have, like, a tab on the news, and then I have, like, another tab on, you know, a theater company I'm researching. And, like, I'm just, like, I'm going through all of these things, like, all the time. Like, my mind's thinking about, like, 5 or 10 different things, and then when I have to sit down and write and only remember like the motorcycle adventure that I went on and like recapping what I did that day, that's what I find like the least stimulating, is because I like I'm singularly focused. But I'm just, I've allowed my mind to get so distracted with the internet for so many years. Like, I think a lot of our generation is just like, we just need that stimulation constantly. Maybe that's why Instagram is such a big hit the way it is. It's just like new picture, new picture, new picture, new picture, like new video, new story, new this. And it's just like this, we have such a steady stream of new content that we're always like seeking it out.
Yeah, good. And, you know, you got to play to your strengths, even if you don't really acknowledge how good they are initially, because what you find easy, a lot of people find tough. And I know you finding this apartment whilst we're in Cyprus, you found it in Edinburgh, you know, and you had a lot of people come back to you. Everyone that you applied to came back to you. And then after put the acceptance in on the apartment, you were reading Reddit and you found how tough it was for people to find apartments in Edinburgh.
Yeah, the people said it was a nightmare. It's like hell. Every time you go to a viewing, there's like 30 other people there.
How many viewings did you go to?
I didn't go to any. Oh, man. Yeah, no, it's it's about persistence and it's about jumping on it as soon as it's available. Like I have like apartment hunting in Toronto and LA, which have been two notoriously hard places to rent in as well. And it's literally about making that offer and just snapping up the apartment immediately, not humming and hawing, not I'll get back to you in a week or a day or this or that. Like in Toronto, I remember they're like, okay, this viewing is going to be from noon till 3 p.m. And so I called the guy and I was like, okay, can you see me like before? Like, I'm going to be there a bit early. Can you see me at like 11:30? He's like, oh, you know what? I'll be there at like 11:45. Come at 11:45. And I was like, okay, great. Get there at 11:45. See the apartment. It's amazing. And then at the end, I'm like, hey, we'll take it. Like, we'll take it right now. I love it. And then he's like, all right, you know what? If you sign right now and give me the check, we'll turn everyone else away. And then that's what he did. And so I was like, oh, okay, this is what I have to do. In LA, same thing. Oh, here's an apartment. Okay, decent price. Right in my neighborhood. Pictures look good. Call. Hey, yeah, I'm showing it from 4 to 7. Oh, you know what? I'm like, I'm so close. Like, is there any way you can show it to me at 3:30? Oh, you know, I'll be there on 3:45. Okay, fine, come. Open the door. And as soon as I opened the door, I was like, oh, this is the apartment. And I was like, I'll take it. He's like, really? I was like, yeah. And he's like, okay, fine. I'll turn everyone else away. And then it's funny. Because he's like, okay, so we'll do the credit check. And then he calls and gives my social security number or whatever. And he's like, oh, He's like, you have no history. What country are you from? I'm from Canada. Oh, you have no credit history here. I'm sorry. He's like, okay, if you pay double security deposit, we'll let you have the apartment. Because he'd already, like, decided on me. And I was like, yeah. So, like, sometimes you just have to be able to do that. If it's great if you have a little bit of capital behind you, or it's great if you can just charm the people. And me and Byron had a good kind of phone conversation, and we joked a little bit. And then, you know,
Guy that was leased on the leasing agency.
Yeah, the letting agency in Edinburgh. We had like a bit of a rapport. Like, the thing is, you don't want to tell them you're a bad candidate straight out of the gate. You want them to decide on you and then drop the little nuggets of, oh, we're a comedian and professional poker player and we look terrible on paper. Like, you don't want to open with that. You know? You want to open with, oh yeah, we work with the Scotsman and we're running a venue for the Edinburgh Fringe. That's what you want to open with.
Yeah. You got to, you know, it's, some people it's easier to see the ways to conduct themselves and move through these chicanes of negotiation, as it were. And you do that very well. And, you know, they're getting it. But what I'd say is, like you were saying, it's almost like you would go with all your cash ready to hand over.
Yeah.
But not hand over more than what you've got, that you've prepared to within your budget, you know. And then as soon as it feels right and you hit the right one, because there were some other ones that you were considering, and I was like, if it's not a fuck yeah, then it's a hell no.
Yeah.
And the other one, it wasn't a hell yeah for me. Yeah. So we kept looking through, and then we saw this one, and it just looked amazing, great location, near casino, close enough to the amenities and supermarket and central, and then, yeah, we're just like, let's do it.
Yeah, let's pull the trigger on that. And what's great about Edinburgh is one is a walking city, so it's close to all like the comedy stuff for me, which is great. So I'm going to start a weekly show when I get to Edinburgh, which will be nice, and maybe run some stand-up comedy classes, which will be cool, because sometimes you need that pressure of rent to really light a fire under your ass to, like, you know, make some money and stuff. And I'm not a 9-to-5 girl, and I'm never going to be. Sometimes I'm more than a 9. That's the funny thing, is like, sometimes people think when you're self-employed it means like, oh, it's great, you know, you don't have to get up early and whatever. But like, man, there were so many times where I would be getting up at like 5 or 6 in the morning. Like, maybe I had like an interview with a TV spot on a morning show, and like, you're just like getting up at 5 in the morning in Halifax, and you're like, then you're gonna have to spend the whole day, you know, handing out flyers or going to hostels to promote your show, and then you do your show in Halifax, you wake up the next day and you ride to New Brunswick. Like, we were constant. Like, I, like, there's some times where I feel like I don't actually ever take a day off. So it's not all sunshine and roses, but you go to the beat of your own drum and you do decide what you do and don't do, which I do enjoy. But anyway, so I have a cousin who's in Edinburgh, and she's my mom's like first cousin, because my mother's father and her mother were brother and sister, right? So she's the only family that I have left. Well, not the only family, but one of the few people that that we still keep in touch with as family in Scotland, because she would actually come to Canada and visit my family. So we were just the closest to her. And, you know, it took a while for her to tell me kind of where her apartment was, which was fine. I wasn't like too like, oh, I need to know where it is. And then she finally told me on like the last time I hung out with her where her apartment was. She wrote down a piece of paper, but I totally like lost the paper somewhere. And so when I told her, I was like, oh my God, Marjorie, I'm moving to Edinburgh in December, and I'm going to be at, you know, this is my address. And she's like, oh my God, I'm in the same apartment complex. I was like, oh, really? And I was like, oh, I promise I'm not stopping you. And she wrote back, sure you aren't, with like an emoji with like bulging eyes. And I just thought it was like so funny, because I'm just like, of all the places in Edinburgh, I'm like literally in the same apartment building as her. But she has a car, and she might want to go grocery shopping with me sometime, so that'd be dope.
Lucky.
Lucky or unlucky. So, but anyways, where are we at? We have to make sure we don't get cut off, because this thing cuts off at the hour mark. Oh my God, it's 59 minutes, perfect timing. Okay, cool. Well, it has been nice to join you on our first international podcast. So, closing out jingle time.
I thought that was pretty good. What do you think?
She's from there.
He's from here.
Hanging together.
We make quite a pair.
She's left-handed.
He's right-handed.
Surely not
to be disbanded. We are the Mighty Mounties.
Stay awesome.
Until next time.